There is a length of highway that runs between Johnson City and Blanco, Texas, just south of Austin or just north of San Antonio. It's an area that can really only be described accurately as true Texas Hill Country. Sprawling wooded acreages, dirt roads, and plenty of deer all make up the backdrop of this quiet, ordinary-looking stretch of U.S. Highway 281. But over the last 100 years, motorists have described and reported something that can hardly be considered ordinary. A lone male figure, sporting a red kerchief around his neck, hitchhiking. Unassuming enough, until a wayward motorist dares to pull over and offer the man assistance. This is when things take a dark turn. The man, known as Al Lackey, is clutching a blood-encrusted knife in one hand. What's more, the red kerchief is actually white, but so saturated in Al's own blood, courtesy of a horrible neck wound now visible to our hypothetical motorist, that it may as well be red anyway. It's at this point that most encounters describe the motorist speeding away, leaving Al's ghost in the literal dust, or in some accounts, he simply vanishes before getting in the car. Who was Al Lackey, and why is he haunting U.S. Highway 281? That's today on Hey Strangeness.
Paul! Paul! Come quick!
What is it, young Jethro?
It's the cattle! There's been another mutilation!
Another cattle mutilation? Gosh darn it. If only there were something we could do about those dang chupacabras.
And now there is! Introducing Chupacabra Chow. Chupacabra Chow is specially formulated. It contains all the essential vitamins that chupacabras need and crave. Want your local chupacabras to stop feeding on your livestock? Then try Chupacabra Chow. Simply place a 50-gallon drum of Chupacabra Chow at the border of your property line every night. Then, surround your property with electrified barbed wire, hire a commissioned security team, secure your cattle within an underground Soviet-era bomb shelter, hire a priest, burn a lot of magical incense, and kiss cattle mutilation goodbye.
Wow, Paul! Look! The Chupacabras didn't mutilate one cattle last night.
They sure didn't, young Jethro. And good thing, too. Thanks Chupacabra Chow.
Chupacabra Chow, from the makers of Ghost Blow, the decongestant for ghosts. Warning, Chupacabra Chow is not effective. The only way to prevent cattle mutilation by Chupacabras is to sell your farm and change careers. Chupacabras definitely exist and are an unstoppable force of nature or possibly intangible primordial super beings. Flee in terror from Chupacabras and do not buy Chupacabra Chow. Chupacabra Chow!
Welcome to Hey Strangeness, a podcast about some of the strangest things in life, from ghosts and cryptids to true crime and conspiracy to the unnamed and unseen horrors which dwell at the edge of what we perceive as existence and which, if ever glimpsed by mortal eyes, would truly drive us unto madness. I am one of your hosts. My name is Aaron.
And I'm Sarah.
And we are very excited to be here today. Are you excited?
I am very excited.
I'm excited. We're going to talk about Al Lackey today. And I think it's going to be fun. Have you ever heard of Al Lackey?
Not before you had brought it up, no.
Okay. I ran into this story really recently because I was looking into local legends and folklore, things that are nearby that we could actually drive to. And I noticed very quickly that Austin, San Antonio, and a lot of the towns and areas surrounding them are haunted AF.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deeply haunted. Like, so many people have died here.
Yes.
It's a lot. So this stretch of highway, we drive on it all the time. That was kind of what caught my attention when I first started reading about it. It's a pretty nice country road. It's pretty scenic. It's a nice back way to get from Austin to San Antonio. It actually picks up right after Dripping Springs, right before you get to Blanco. And then Johnson City's a little further north. And the story is that this ghost hitchhiker has been hanging out over there since, I guess, the late 1800s. Now, in all our many hours spent on this road, Sarah, have you ever seen a man with a red handkerchief around his neck?
No.
Are you sure? Really think about it.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And we have driven it a lot.
A lot. Yeah. But it doesn't mean it's not real. So, who is Al Lackey? I think that's important to talk about. Pull up my notes here. So, Al Lackey was born in Texas. He was a Texas native, born in 1848. He fought in the Civil War, presumably for the Confederacy, according to many of the records I found online. He homesteaded in Blanco County, near the modern-day town of Blanco, also very close to Johnson City, which is the home of President Lyndon B. Johnson, so named for him.
Cool.
In 1885, for reasons which are not fully understood to this day, Al Lackey went on a murderous rampage for about 2 days. Apparently, rumors were being thrown around that he was having improper relations, air quotes, with his stepdaughter.
Gross.
Possibly his regular daughter. Mm. Not so great. In one account I read, it said that he had married his daughter-in-law at some point.
Huh.
I don't know how that gets arranged. It's probably best we don't find out. But anyway, he loads up his Winchester rifle, gets on his horse, and heads to his brother's place, which is a neighboring farm a couple miles down the road. Shoots his sister-in-law first, just shoots her dead, very sad. And his brother, his name was Nathaniel Lackey, takes off running. He's like, oh God, this is bad. I need to get out of here. Takes off running. Al follows him and shoots him in the head. So that's two people.
That he's shot.
That he's, yeah, just murdered in cold blood, apparently.
Okay.
Nathaniel Lackey's son, or Al's nephew, apparently was in the woods nearby, heard the gunshots, and hid wisely. So he survived. He escaped. Then Al takes off, goes to, let's see, another nearby farm. Mr. and Mrs. Stokes, guns them down.
Just random.
Just shoots neighbors. Him down. Well, that's what I thought when I was first reading this, but their daughter was actually his daughter-in-law, married to his stepson. So already there's some confusing family dynamics here. Like, there's step-in-laws and there's neighbors who I guess would be, what would they be related to him? His son's wife's parents? Just co-in-laws, I guess?
I don't know.
Right?
No clue.
Yeah. You've
kind of lost me there with your lineage.
It'd be kind of like your parents and my parents, right? That kind of relationship.
So they're not at all connected?
Not at all related by blood, no. Kind of related by marriage. So okay. he goes and he shoots these poor old folks, and then he shoots their daughter, who was his apparent daughter-in-law. And then he takes off. Just kind of rides back. Then he goes home and he kills his own daughter. Just cold blood. Bam.
Dang.
Awful, right? I hate this guy. Like, gross. I really don't like this guy. And the only problem I have with talking about true crime stories and murder stories is that, like, the asshole gets all the airtime. Like, for real, fuck this guy. And we're going to talk about him for, like, 20 minutes. It sucks. It's just a bummer. Anyway, so he kills his daughter. And then he turns the gun on his wife, pulls the trigger, and nothing happens. I don't know if the gun misfired or jammed, or if he was just out of rounds. I couldn't really find that. Considering this happened 140 years ago, I think it's pretty impressive we have as many details as we do.
Sure.
You know, it's a long time ago. So he takes off after his wife, pulls out a knife. It's like, well, fine, I'm going to do this one way or another. Chases her into the woods, but she escapes. She gets away. So far, Al has killed 6 people and 2 have escaped. So that's a, what, 40% failure rate?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. I'm not a math guy, but if you're failing 40% of the time, like, you need more practice. And if the thing you need more practice at is killing your own family, like, I just hate this guy. God. I spent a lot of time reading up on him, and I like him less and less as more time goes on.
That's how it should be.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, so Al's wife escapes. Al then takes his knife and cuts his own throat open. You remember the neck wound we talked about?
Yeah.
Cuts his own neck with his knife. It's unclear as to whether or not he was doing this to make himself appear to be another victim, or if he was just trying to commit suicide, like, you know.
Okay, I didn't succeed.
Yeah, like, oh, well, I guess I'm done. But there's more. Oh, there's more. So he's all bloody and gross, and, you know, he's tied a handkerchief around his neck, which was white and is now red. That does come up in a couple of accounts, very specific. And he encounters a man named Thomas Brunswick on the road. Some accounts list him as being named Al Brunswick. We're just going to call him Brunswick because if we have two Als, nobody has time for that. I'm far too tired and intoxicated. So they're riding side by side on the road together, and Al attacks Brunswick with the knife. Cuts him several times pretty badly, but he gets away.
So a third person got away.
Three people have gotten away from him, yeah. So of his potential victim list, we've got 9, and 3 have escaped. 2 of which have escaped uninjured. So clearly his goal here, nothing's really clear here.
Nothing is. I still don't understand what... I don't understand anything.
Like, what was his deal? Like, okay, this was a really long time ago, and I can't put myself in the frame of mind of someone who would murder their entire family, but... It was obviously his family that he was targeting at the beginning, you know? At least at the beginning. Because that's the first place he goes is his brother's house.
Yeah. One can assume that, yeah.
Yeah. His first victim
is something related family, so maybe something was going on within the family that wasn't great.
And now that I'm thinking back, there's different accounts of this story, but I think one of them said that he had had relations with his sister-in-law also? I don't remember.
Ew.
I know. Either way, this guy was a creep. Okay. Even if those rumors weren't true, he did go berserk and murder 6 people.
And this happened on 281, near 281?
So this happened in the space between Johnson City and Blanco.
Okay.
Which is modern day Highway 281.
Yeah. Okay.
281 didn't exist back then. And some of the roads that did exist back then don't exist now, or they've been renamed. But yes. Yeah. So like we said in the intro, just south of Austin, just north of San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Al attacks this guy with a knife. Mr. Brunswick actually manages to escape. And then he headed for Johnson City. And again, it's unclear why he would do this because he's killed 6 people. He doesn't even have his gun at this point. He's switched over to the knife, apparently. I guess he doesn't know how to reload a gun, I guess. It seems weird that a guy out in the country, you know, who owns a Winchester rifle would only have 6 shots for it. Or 7. I think he shot his brother twice. Like, I think it took 2 shots to kill his brother. But I don't know. Yeah, nothing this guy does makes any sense. I should stop trying to rationalize it. So he's headed for Johnson City on horseback, all red, bloody around the neck. And the sheriff meets him on the road. He's like, you're under arrest. Your wife and your nephew told us what you did. You're under arrest. And Al apparently tried to claim that he was a victim. So that's why I think the neck cutting thing was to make himself look, you know, like a victim for whatever reason. I don't know what. Is that a cat? Which one is that?
Biscuit.
Oh, man. That's the kitten. He's a feral barn cat. He's a monster. Anyway, so they arrest Al, or the sheriff arrests Al without incident. And it's interesting to me that he went berserk and killed 6 family members, then attacked an acquaintance. I don't know what his relationship with Mr. Brunswick was like, but presumably he's no better than an acquaintance, maybe a friend.
Okay.
Attacks this guy at random, it seems like. And then he heads for Johnson City, the biggest town, you know, in the area. So was his intent to get caught? Was he looking for more victims? Does he just have a lot of respect for the law? Like, I'll kill anybody, but when I see a badge, yes, sir. As made evident by the fact that he was peacefully arrested and placed in the Blanco jail. Now, Blanco at the time was the county seat for the county of Blanco. Modern day, the county seat has been moved to Johnson City. Presumably because Johnson City was the home of a famous president. But he's put in jail, presumably awaiting trial. All of his victims are buried the next day. So they didn't waste a lot of time. This was August 24th when he went on his little rampage. August the 25th, all his victims are buried. And this causes word of the massacre to spread throughout the surrounding area. So on the evening of the 25th, a mob of 50 to 60 people showed up at the jail, broke in, dragged Blackie out into the street, and hung him by the neck from a tree until he died. Damn. Now, Yeah.
Damn.
Now, vigilante justice is not something to be condoned. We live in a society of laws. But 1885 in Blanco County was literally the Wild West.
You mean we're in the South, dude.
The South, but also the Wild West. It's west of a lot of places, and it was very, very wild. And this is a guy that poses a threat not only to individuals, but to society, to the species. This is a rabid wolf. This guy's got to be put down. And I shouldn't feel good about this, but apparently when they hung him, they botched it, and he didn't... You know how when people are hung, like, their necks are supposed to snap,
yeah,
and it's supposed to be humane,
yeah,
I guess?
Yeah, I totally know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hang people all the time. That's why we know. I'm going to edit that part out. But apparently he just kind of suffocated, hung by the neck for several minutes, and they just let him hang there. Like, nah, bro. This is, like, the least you deserve. And then I guess his body just kind of hung there for a while, and eventually it was buried in an unmarked grave. His family members are interred at a nearby cemetery, which we can go to. Their graves are marked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was able to find those. And then there are other members of the Lackey family buried at neighboring cemeteries in Blanco County. Apparently, it was a pretty big clan. He wiped out 6 in a day. And they survived. He was asked before he was hung if he had killed everyone he intended to kill. And he said, 6 remain alive that I intended to kill.
Dang.
6 people. So I don't know whether they were family or just people he knew, but the guy wasn't done. So that's why, again, heading for Johnson City, what was his plan? Let's never find out. And now, he apparently haunts U.S. Highway 281. I don't know why he's hitchhiking. Is he still trying to get to Johnson City? Maybe that's why we've never seen him. We never go to Johnson City.
Well, yeah, because we always go to Blanco.
Oh.
We're going the opposite direction.
Shit. So if we go to Johnson City at sunset, we could get ghost
murder. I think we've only done it once when you missed the turn and we ended up driving a little bit out of the way. And we
yes.
went through Johnson City. That was the first time.
Yes.
And we got lost.
We went 15 miles out of the way.
Yep.
We drove through Johnson City. Can we just say that we saw him?
No.
Okay. So here's the thing. This, I guess this kind of wraps up the story, right? This is sort of the end.
Okay.
And normally this is where we would conclude, Sarah. But we're going to take this one step further. We're going into the field for this one. This place is so close. We can't just not go, right?
You know the Texas farmers will shoot if you're on their property.
It's not. Well, here. I got it on Google Maps. So here is a picture of the tree he was hung from. It's a very, very old picture from historical archives and like newspapers and stuff. You see how the branch has this kind of curve to it?
Yeah.
It kind of almost looks like a wave cresting, like
yeah.
the way the trunk is angled and the branch hangs over. So this is 1885, okay, is when this picture was allegedly taken. And then cut to the modern day, this is allegedly the same tree. Now, I know they look really, really different at first glance, but look at this branch here.
The curvature.
Yeah. And now we'll look back at the original picture. I think that's the same tree. Since you can't see what we're looking at, folks, what we've got is a picture on Google Maps of this tree in the modern day. It's huge. Giant oak tree. Clearly a couple hundred years old. Then we have the newspaper photo of the original tree that we know he was hung from, and it's maybe 50% of the overall mass of the modern day tree, would you say?
Yeah.
The modern tree has 4 big main branches on it. The picture of the old tree just has 2. But this is 140 years of difference. Like, I don't know how current this Google Maps photo is, but it's at least within the last couple years. This is 1885. So it's not hard to imagine in 140 years, a live oak, I'm pretty sure this is a live oak, in Texas, where they grow really fast and really strong, getting this big.
Yeah, I can see that.
Not difficult to imagine at all.
And this is in Johnson City?
This is in Blanco.
Blanco. Oh, okay.
He was in the Blanco County Jail. He was hauled out by the lynch mob and hung from this tree. I believe this tree.
So we're going to a random tree.
We're going to a haunted tree.
We're going. But I thought he haunts 281.
Right, but this is where he was hung. So we're going there. Yes, we have to go.
No.
We're going.
Four or five streets.
So you've only been here on Google Maps?
Yes, many times. But only Google Maps. So we come around here. There's going to be like a school or a daycare or a church or something right before we get to it. And then the tree is like directly on the road. Like it was left there intentionally. Dun, dun, dun. And if we don't find it, this is still a nice little drive.
The boonies.
It's very scenic, yeah. In the boonies. Okay, I am 99% sure this is it. We passed it completely and went on a whole little side drive down. What is this, Highway 163? There's even a little place to pull over. And it's next to a house that appears to be abandoned, so we're just gonna take a few quick pictures and get out of here. We found it! I have no idea if it's haunted or not, but I'm sitting right in front of it, and it definitely exists. So, cool. How do you feel, Sarah?
It's a tree.
Yeah. Of the trees that you've seen, would you say it's among some of the better ones?
Sure, I guess. Okay. It's big.
Do you feel, of the haunted trees you've seen, where would you say it ranks?
6 out of 10.
How many haunted trees have you seen?
No, I told you about that place in Oklahoma.
Oh.
That's scary.
That's right. Okay, well, we saw the tree, and we did not see Al Lackey's ghost this time, again. But we did find the tree. I'm really excited about it. All of our research paid off. What we got out of it, I don't know.
Me neither.
But we've seen a tree.
A tree.
Thank you for joining us today on Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
My name is Sarah.
And we have had a fantastic time this evening, or morning, or day, depending where you are and at what time you listen to this. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.